You ever judge a book by its cover?
I actually only ever judge books by their covers.
Same. Always have. Always will.
Like, I don't even, at this point, care about the content. Mm-mm. Like, I'm at this point in my life right now where it's like when I walk through the airport and I see the bookstore, I just love to go look at covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take pictures of them.
Oh, for sure. Same. I do the same thing. And then do you ever get upset for the author? Like, who did this?
Yeah, like, it's a good book. Like, who, it's unfortunate sometimes.
Right? But then, like, you look at some of, like, the bestsellers of books that have just sold forever, and it's nothing impressive.
No.
It's definitely so for them, the content clearly won. Mm.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there's nothing better than a great book cover design.
I also do the same thing with wine. I only buy it based off the label.
This is very good because at Trader Joe's, everything's $14. So I'm just like, somebody give me a great design. So if Snoop Dogg's on the bottle of wine, I'm not buying it. No, I'm not buying it. I mean, I know what not to buy. Barefoot and Snoops.
Yep.
Barefoot.
Barefoot. What is it? Barefoot. I'm not getting it.
The kangaroo one. What is that? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know the kangaroo one. No.
Maybe that's Vons or something.
But I just know that, like, yeah, I'll go through, like, what's real at Trader Joe's? We don't know. But you go through there and you're just like, man, that looks really cool. That's a great font. Mm-hmm. Wow, they did good.
The colors.
Wait, this is, you know those drinks, like poppies and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
The cans all just look so, I want to try them all. Then
every single one of them.
They're so horrible every time. Pleasing. If you go to Erewhon or Whole Foods, it's worse because they only carry the super aesthetically.
I'm so overwhelmed at Erewhon drink section. I can't, all the kombuchas and the little ginger drink. Everything looks enticing.
Really? Yes.
I'm convinced the cooler the can, the worse the drink inside.
Ah, dang.
They trick you.
I tell you who's doing good. Is our friends over at Zen Water, unofficially sponsored here by Zen Water.
You said that you can't find this at the grocery store. I went to the grocery store, a full shelf of Zen Water.
Well, I think that since they redid this, because this is not the old bottle design. Right. Now that the new one's out, by the way, T Swift was drinking Zen Water the booth week one. Not this last week at MetLife, the week, where was she in Kansas City?
With the mom.
Yeah, Kansas City. Photographed Zen Water in her hand. Shout out once again. Second shout out, because the last time he told me that he listened, second shout out to Clayton Barnes. Hey, Zen Water, my favorite water in the whole world. Never judge a book by its cover unless it's water.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Leadership Leanin', and we're so glad that you can join us. This episode is brought to you by Overflow. Head on over to overflow.co to find a new experience in giving and receiving funds. I love what they phrase this term, frictionless giving, and that's what Overflow does. And they create an opportunity for you to receive funds for fundraisers, for donations. They've reimagined philanthropy. In the past, you may be able to give one way or two ways. This opens up a whole world of giving, from crypto to NFTs to stocks to cash, all sorts of different ways to do it. And here's a few things that I really appreciate. It's quick and easy to use. They have a really secure platform. They have expert support. I'm telling you, their support is out of this world. If you need a call, an email, they're there for you. And there's transparency at every step. You're never going to wonder what your financial position is with them. They will be transparent with you the entire time. So head over to overflow.co to book a demo right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Leadership Leanin'. Lean out? Nope, nope, don't you dare. Lean in. Why would you lean out when it feels so good to lean in? Just to get a little bit better. We cannot, listen, everybody on the podcast, we cannot promise perfection, but by golly, gosh darn it, we are promising progress.
Amen.
That's right.
Shout out to my little sister who has been telling me that she listens to the pod.
Let's go.
Yes, a leaner.
I was just in Memphis, a lot of leaners in Memphis. I was in Nashville recently, a lot of leaners, a lot of leaners. Some have called us a nation.
That's true.
Chad,
you do.
No one has called you a nation.
Smallest nation.
Somebody have called you a tribe. At best, buddy. We are so excited to have you with us today. We are jumping into some leadership content. We are talking about this fantastic subject today. Okay, today we are talking about stronger is better. So I know as a leader, you want to build everything bigger. You want big world, big team. Everything's about growth. But I think if you strive for that and the foundation is a little bit unsure, we might get what we're going for, which is bigger, but it won't turn out better. Hmm. To me, the goal of leadership is everything stronger. Stronger at home, stronger in our soul, stronger in our relationships. By the way, one of the signs of strength, in my opinion, is that if you got the worst phone call of your life today, could you handle it? Are you strong enough? Hmm. Are you strong enough to handle, you know, all of the obstacles of life? Life is filled with challenges. Life is filled, leadership is filled with challenges. Am I strong enough to deal with what's in front of me today?
Right.
I've got obstacles. I've got mountains. I've got challenges in front of me today. Am I strong enough to keep moving forward? So I think the goal ought to not be growth as much as it is strength.
Mm. Yeah.
Anything that is healthy or anything that's strong is growing. Stronger is better.
That's right.
And by the way, there's a challenge that comes with being successful, and with success comes great opportunity. Hmm. So you got to be careful, because if you're not strong, you will become a success and you won't be strong enough to say no to things.
That's right.
Because what happens when you go to another level in leadership, now there's all these opportunities, all these invitations, all these things that are now at your disposal. They weren't there before.
Yeah.
And if you're not strong enough, you're not strong in your soul, strong in your convictions, strong in your values, you're not going to be able to say no. And we know this about leadership. Your no is more powerful than your yes. And so the stronger I am, the more I'm able to say no to the wrong things, mm-hmm. because I already resolved to say yes to the right things.
So good. Good.
So let's focus on strength. Let's get stronger in our marriages, stronger in our convictions, stronger in our discipline. Mm. It's like when you work out, right? When you work out, what are you supposed to focus on? Your core. Because that determines everything else.
That's right.
So don't focus on growth. Growth will happen if you're strong. Mm. Success will happen if you're strong.
Yep.
Stronger is better. I think you need two things in order for things to get stronger. And if they get stronger, they'll inevitably get better. The things that you need for you to get stronger are two things. Number one, you need a positive attitude.
That's right.
Which I just love positivity. Mm-hmm. I love that idea that your attitude is your altitude. You will never surpass your attitude. Your attitude determines everything. And so I like that positive attitude mindset. I think, by the way, let's just shout out all the positive people in our life. April, you're pretty positive?
I think so.
Scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your positivity?
7?
That's not very good.
Really?
You're more positive. You're a C?
Okay, then I'm like maybe an 8.5, 9.
Okay, I'll give you that. Nate, what are you on the positive scale?
I think it would be on the side of extreme optimism.
Extreme
Yes.
Wow.
I have a hard time seeing bad things. Mm. Yeah.
You really.
I wake up like today's gonna be the best day.
You're gonna have an awesome day.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think there's something about a positive leader.
Yeah.
They're so attractive. You know, I'm just so out on the doom and gloom and the negative Nancy and the glasses half full and I don't know if we can. And, you know, I think, you know, there's only two things that are really required you in leadership. And I'm going to talk about the second one in a minute. I'm going to focus on this first one. But I think you need to have a positive attitude and you need to be a good teammate.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are kind of the only two things that you have to do is you have to lead with a positive attitude and you have to be a good teammate. But the positive attitude, I think, is probably more important, mm-hmm. because if you have a positive attitude, everything else just kind of falls in line.
Yeah.
And I know there's stickers and t-shirts and hats that go along with it, but let me just reemphasize to everybody today, attitude is everything.
Yeah.
Attitude is everything. Your attitude is everything. And it's just the worst. It's the saddest when you see someone that's just stuck with a bad attitude.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And they get really down and they get a lot of time it has to do with, you know, they feel like a failure. They feel like things aren't going good. They feel like people are against them. They feel like they're stuck. They feel bitter against somebody. And then you see that bad attitude creep in. I think you got to do everything within your power to arrest your attitude.
That's right.
So if you're hangry, eat something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're offended, forgive somebody.
Yeah.
If you're tired, go to sleep. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm a stickler on sleep is because I know how bad I am when I don't sleep.
Right.
And I just I'm not even close to a Christian if I don't sleep.
The worst version of myself.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta sleep. I have to sleep in order to serve my family, my kids, my life, my world. I can't serve anybody if I don't sleep.
Yeah. We're gonna take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, HelloFresh.
I'm not gonna lie, April. I'm obsessed with HelloFresh.
I know you are because you stole all of the package from the last time we got it.
Yeah, HelloFresh, they send us whole meals with recipes, everything you need. I bring them home to my family.
And I didn't get any of the shrimp, but it's fine.
I took it all. Okay, I have a little bit larger of a family.
It's true. There's one of me, there's four of you.
That's right. And it was so simple. My wife cooked the shrimp meal, and my children and myself. What's the one phrase from it's not delivery?
It's HelloFresh.
Okay, but HelloFresh does deliver right to your door. And that's what I love about it. It's so simple. It's so easy, especially if you have a fast lifestyle. Look, most of us leaders, we don't have all the time in the world to look up a recipe, trust that it's going to be good, and then hope that we actually have the skills to pull it off.
HelloFresh. Like, I'm not really going to measure it out. I'm just going to throw things together, and it doesn't work like that. But they portion out all the ingredients.
Yeah, I was going to say, HelloFresh, I feel like a cook when I'm cooking things on my own. I feel like a chef when I'm with HelloFresh. And so we think that you should check it out yourself. I want to make sure and read our deal for you because I don't want you to miss out on this. Okay, go to HelloFresh.com/50lean and use code 50lean for 50% off plus free shipping. Go to HelloFresh.com/50lean and use code 50lean for 50% off plus free shipping. I'm not going to lie, when this box shows up, it's like a refrigerated box. It's a cold box, and I get excited every time.
It's like Christmas morning every time HelloFresh shows up. Well, we'll head back to Leadership Lean In now.
So because I so value a good attitude, I even have the value of sleep.
Yeah.
Here's a few things that you need in order to preserve your positive attitude. You need positive words, that positive confession. Just that ability to just speak, you know, I think this is, you know, why I love this is the language of faith. Mm-hmm. The language of faith is that positive confession, that ability to, you know, just say good things. I'll never forget years ago, I was playing golf. Judah and I were golfing. Shout out to Pastor Judah Smith, who just stopped by on the 6 p.m. service recently. He's just the greatest ever. Talk about a positive person. Right. This guy's his moxie, his aura is just like, loving, graciousness, kindness. He is so next level class. Mm. And I love him so much. And years ago, this is I don't know how many, if I've been married 15 years, this is 14 years ago. We were playing golf with a guy up in Seattle, old pastor. And Judah is a golfer. Like, he's real golf. You know, like, I play the game. He's like, he will say he sold his soul to the game at age 10. He's a real golfer. So he misses this putt. We're playing Chambers Bay in Tacoma. Shout out to Tacoma. And he misses this putt. And so I kind of walk away kind of chuckling, like, he shouldn't have missed that one because he's so good. And all of a sudden, poof, poof, his putter goes flying by my ear.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what?
That's chaos.
I almost became like the soldier in the Bible that lost the ear. I was like, my God, what are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Yes.
And I was like, dude, it almost hit me in the ear. And we're walking the next T-box. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? And the older pastor guy was like, you know, we really got to work on your confession, man. I was like, confession? We got to work on self-control. You're worried about his words. I'm worried about his actions. You got to work on your confession, man. I never forget. He's worried about confession. I kind of like that old leader, though, that gets passionate about don't confess those things.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, that your words paint a world.
Yeah.
There's something about what you say holds so much weight in people's lives. Mm. And I just want to encourage you, leader, don't confess it over you. Don't confess it over them. Don't confess that over your city.
That's right.
Years ago, I was preaching at this church at the Young Adult Ministry in Jacksonville, Florida. And I won't say the name of the ministry, but the Young Adults Ministry had a name. And the pastor at the time was getting ready to preach. And it's like 2,000-3,000 young adults.
Jeez.
And he gave them a perverted nickname because he said a lot of them were sleeping around. And I was like, man, I just don't even confess that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Positivity is about what is faith? Speaking things that don't exist as though they do.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Can I ask a question towards that? Because I'm a faith person. I'm positive, but I think positivity gets this bad rap. Like, if you're positive, that means you can't see the reality. That's not what you're saying, right?
Well, no, it is what I'm saying. I'm kidding.
Well, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Have
you heard that term toxic positivity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I think that, now listen, I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying, though, is like when you are critical, what is the proverb? Even a fool looks wise when he is silent. Mm. Or let's use an old saying. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Mm. Hold your tongue.
Yeah.
Use discernment. Use discretion. I got to address the things that are wrong and toxic and cancerous and things that are going to hurt our organization or hurt my personal life or hurt, you know, my children. You fill in the blank. Come on. We're going to be a bulldog about the wrong stuff. But as far as being a positive leader, you got to have that confession down.
Yeah. And I think I've seen you do this, you know, 100 times. The worst thing in the world. You address it positively. Hey, we're going to see our way through this. We're going to fix this.
Absolutely.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened, but this isn't the end of the world. Let's,
And I think, you know, if you think about this, what you think about, 70,000 thoughts in the subconscious per day, 70,000, right? Of those 70, 40,000 are negative. Okay, so I got 40,000 negative thoughts a day, and so do you. Okay, but what you say has 10x the power of what you think. Mm-hmm. Think about this.
Crazy.
What you say has 10x, 10 times the power of what you think, okay? If it is negative, it even surpasses that and has 4 to 7 times more impact than what I say.
Right.
I don't know if everybody tracked right there, but let me just break down the math. What you say has 10 times more power than what you think. And if it's negative, it has 4 to 7 times even greater than that.
Wow.
So you have to be careful about negative words.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Negative words are seeds. They hold. People remember these comments. They remember these interactions. It's what they think about at night. It's what, you know, someone left a comment. Someone said this on me, a post.
Yeah.
No. Around you, leader, come on. You're speaking life.
Come on.
Power of life and death? Okay, we're speaking life. We're not choosing death. Next thing you need is you need a positive influence. Make an impact. You know, I was thinking about recently, I was thinking about this story where somebody got around a leader that I know, you know, pretty well. And they said, every time I'm around them, I'm inspired.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, maybe it was this morning or the day before, man, I hope I live an inspiring life.
Yeah.
Like, I was generally just, because of the comment he made about them, I was thinking, I want to live that life.
That's good.
I want to inspire people. I want to be an influence for good, an influence for impact, right. an influence for legacy, an influence for God, to be honest. Like, that's what I want to be. Mm. And you're going to influence them one way or the other.
Right. Right.
So you choose the path that you're on, and whatever path you're on, you're going to influence people down that path.
That's right.
And so you got to have a positive influence, positive outlook. I like this one because it's like, what is your perspective on things? How do you see God, you, and others? How do you see the circumstance you're in? How about a positive outlook? Mm-hmm. Again, like you said, you'll be in the worst of circumstances going like, man, I know it's going to work out.
Right.
They say emotional intelligence is being in like a dark hole or a dark cave and having the ability simultaneously to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
Translation, I'm in a dark spot right now, but I see the light.
That's right.
And I think that when hard things happen, there is value in the, like what you talked about earlier, addressing that. And it's like, I remember someone in my life lost someone, they were grieving a death, and the advice that their therapist gave them was, give yourself an allotted amount of time a day to grieve that, and then that's going to help you heal. And so when we have to just organize our thoughts, organize and deal with things so they don't bleed into our outlook.
That's right.
If we deal with it and address it and give it the proper attention that it is due, otherwise it'll just be everywhere all the time and affect your outlook.
Yeah. And your outlook gets all, you know, I think that some people you talk to and their outlook has been skewed and it's been adjusted by this politics or culture or this other person's offense or whatever. And you go, wait, you have such an unhealthy perspective on things. How did you? So I think I need people in my life to help me get perspective sometimes. Mm-hmm, that's why I think it's important as a leader to ask people, hey, what do you think?
Right.
Hey, what do you see? Hey, I know you're not expert. I'm not expert. How would you handle this? I think getting perspective is a big deal as a leader. Here's another one is that I need positive body language. I like this one that I'm not summarized to communication just as an orator. I can talk. And by the way, I marvel at how good some people are at talking. I got look at this Pat McAfee. This guy's so good at talking. Put a tank top and a gold chain. This guy's so dang good at talking. Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports, or just anybody just has the gift to get up and just talk.
Mm. Yep.
It's unbelievable. So talking is its own gift. But guess what? I am in control of my body language.
That's right.
And I've seen some people just bad attitude or defeated or checked out, not interested, disrespectful, unhonoring. My body language can speak positively.
Positively.
Yeah.
My body
language. Both of those would work. Yeah.
My body language talks.
Yeah.
There's a stat that's like communication is X percent body language. I forget what it is, but it's so much larger than you think it is. So I just think like everything about you says everything about you.
Yep.
It's not just your fashion or your attire. It's how you walk. It's you carry yourself. It's your countenance. Mm-hmm. You want to be a good communicator? Take care of your countenance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just how, the spirit of who you are, the way that you interact, the way that you engage, the warmth. You know, I think charisma is underrated.
Yeah.
Well.
Being charismatic, being charming. That's what charisma is to have charm.
Yep.
I think your body language ought to be charming, mm-hmm. inviting, accepting.
I love that.
Not like
standoff.
Remember when coffee shops used to be snooty?
100%. Yes.
This was the whole sell.
How dare you ask for vanilla? How dare you?
Dude, when we first went to Stumptown, I felt like the most inferior, small, idiotic. It's my fault for wanting to order here.
Yeah, 100%.
Why did I drive an hour to come?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Of course, yes.
And now you go to a coffee shop, they're so accommodating.
Yes.
They'll help you.
100%.
I wonder who got a hold of the little hipsters and made them hip to the world. You can't treat people like that.
No.
So leader, I'm telling you, I've been around some of the, you know, most what people would think are the impressive leaders. And you look at their body language, I'm like, he's not impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not impressive.
Have you seen this, the body language TED talk?
No, I'd love it. Send it to me.
Is this the power one?
Yeah.
Power poses?
It's one of the most viewed YouTube videos.
Who does it? Do you know?
I don't know her name.
Some woman, yeah.
Yeah, we can put it in the description or something like that. But she talks about how your body language, how you hold yourself going into certain moments. There's power poses you can do that release neurotransmitters to make you more confident and positive.
Come on.
And so she said, you know, before you go into an interview, go into the bathroom and lift your hands, kind of like worship. Yep. We can make all sorts of parallels how God created us. But she goes, watch, hold it for 10 seconds and then put them down and do it again for another 10 seconds. You'll feel your whole body start to open up. You'll get loose, confident.
It's almost like a lion, like when they're like, it's like when you're like getting ready to attack.
But the opposite, people sit down before they're interviewed. They're on their phone. They're curled up in a ball, which fires a whole other set of neurotransmitters to go into like protection mode. Yeah, and so exactly what you're saying, like your body language, even if you're feeling a certain way, how you are intentional about your body language can change the positivity that you experience yourself. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the way people perceive you, because if you've ever been to a play and you're watching the actor, and when you can tell when an actor doesn't know their lines and you're so nervous and so scared, like I can tell they're so uncomfortable and I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
This last Sunday, yeah.
Well, think about like resting bad attitude face. When the...
Nice. We're coining that, putting that in the Christian dictionary.
But think about that. Like it's we know this term because it's like, hello, if you're so happy, let your face know.
This is so good.
It's a reality. So I think positive leadership wins. I think we were talking about Pete Carroll and this winning attitude, this winning spirit. Be positive, positivity. You know what? One of my favorite guys, I'm name dropping here. I'm playing pickleball with him later this week. John Gordon. What did he write? Almost 3 million sold copies. The Energy Bus. Don't be an energy vampire. Be a positive leader. Positivity wins. Here's the next one. You got to be a good teammate. Oh, do I love a good teammate. Mm. We've talked about this countless times on Leadership Lean In. Let's readdress and let's take valuation of you. Are you a good teammate? Because the teammate you want, come on, man. You're never going to reap what you don't sow.
Yep.
So it's so funny. Leadership. I want loyalty. Do you give loyalty? Mm. Man, I want honor. Do you give honor? Man, I want friends. You got to text people and you got to be a friend. You see what I'm saying? And so I always think, I'm always looking at the man in the mirror. Am I a good teammate?
That's good.
What kind of teammate am I? Mm. Would people define me as being a great teammate to them? You know, we all have different roles in the team, but to the best of my ability, am I being the teammate that people, first of all, the teammate that I want people to be to me and the teammate that that they need me to be to them? So I think there's a few things with teammate that's really important. I'm going to do my part to the best of my ability. How am I a good teammate? If I'm a wide receiver, I'm running my route as hard as I can. It's so funny. I was watching the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants last night. Yep. Oh, who won? Yeah, the Hawks. So just Google it, Hawks. I think 11 sacks last night. Okay, so just shout out. And the commentator, Troy Aikman or Joe Buck, was saying they have great, if you watch them, they have great wide receivers, but they're not running hard. Mm. So they're not running their routes as hard as, so they're faster than they're showing. It's effort. In my area, whatever I'm doing to the best of my ability, I'm going to dominate what's under my control. So that's the way I serve the greater team, is that what I'm responsible for, I'm engaged with it and I'm responsible with it. Mm. The other thing is that I'm going to care about our area. So let's go back to wide receivers. So wide receivers are not on defense, they're on offense. So I care about not just my receiver routes, I care about the running backs and the offensive line and the quarterback and the fullback and the tight end and everybody in the offensive unit. So I think a great teammate cares about what they do, but cares about the area that they're a part of. And whatever area you're a part of, don't just care about, you know, your specific niche. Care about the cul-de-sac and the community you're a part of. In this illustration, the offensive room, the offense. The next one is, I'm going to work out our issues with you. So let's stay with the New York Giants. Last night, the offensive line clearly failed them. They were sacked 11 times.
Jeez.
11 times.
You know what sacked means?
I was actually going to ask, what does that mean?
Okay. It's when the defense gets to the quarterback and tackles him before he could throw the ball. That's a sack. This is a negative play.
That's bad.
Ever want to see it happen.
No.
Unless you are rooting for the defense, which we had 11 celebrations to be exact last night.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's an absurd amount.
Yeah.
If you get two or three a game, you'd be
it's big.
Yeah, you'd be thrilled. So now, leadership has issues. Sometimes people have bad days, bad games. I don't think we're solving our problems by talking about people. I think we solve our problems by talking with people. Mm. And so, as a good teammate, I'm not going to sow discord in our locker room. I'm not going to go bash the tackle or the nose guard or the center. I'm going to talk with whoever is dropping the ball, whoever I have issue with. To me, that's being a good teammate. I'm not a good teammate with you if I don't ever have... See, I think conflict is inevitable.
Yeah.
You throw humans together, conflict is going to happen. Just off preference. Then throw in personality. Mm. Okay, so conflict's inevitable. You're not a bad leader if you have conflict. In my opinion, you're a poor leader if you don't have conflict resolution skills. Mm. And so resolution to me is the sign of maturity, which I think is just a good prayer for every leader. Lord, please mature me. I have so much immaturity lurking in me. It's embarrassing. And so do you, clearly.
Yeah.
Don't get me started with you. My God. Why have I been trying to work on this guy? But we all have immaturity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
We all have immaturity, right? Right. To the best of our ability, I want to be the mature version of me. The immature leader addresses things about people when they're not around. Mm. Blah, blah, blah.
Wow, nah, right. nah, nah,
nah. And guess what? The team's just unraveling. The team is just getting fragmented. The team is getting segregated.
Yeah.
The team is in disarray. And then guess what? If I'm a good teammate, I tell you, hey, man, you have a job to do here. Hey, and you're late constantly, or you got a bad attitude, or, you know, fill in the blank, your breath needs 4 Tic Tacs and a piece of gum right now. Here's an Orbitz. Whatever it is, a good teammate is willing to address things head on.
Yeah.
This is so critical.
Totally. And I think, too, a really good teammate can differentiate between the problem and the person.
That's exactly right.
Wow. You know, they don't take it personally.
Yeah.
They're able to receive it and dish it out and go, hey, let's get past this because we're teammates.
Yes. Yes. And I think that, you know, the problem is that immaturity, let's go back to immaturity. When someone addresses something in you, the immature part of you will think, I'm being attacked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're attacking me. No, friend, they're helping you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're serving you.
So good.
They're loving you. They're being a good teammate. They're being a good friend.
Yeah.
You know, how come they're asking me hard questions? How come they're, you know, they're being judgmental? No. They're actually, because I think you have to tell people the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If someone comes to correct, here's my filter. If someone comes to correct me and they're only doing it to air out their grievances, I really won't give ear.
Yeah.
But if someone comes to correct me and they have my best interests and they care me about growing and developing, you got my ear all day long.
Yep.
So a good teammate does this. Last one. Your win is my win and your loss is my loss. So we win together, we lose together. So when you're winning, I'm winning. So offense, so the defense can't go home and be like, man, offense, they just stunk it up and that's their problem. It's like, no, together we have to be cohesive. We're a unit, all one big unit. I find that bad teammates only care if they did their part.
Wow.
They don't even care about the win or loss. I've been around certain people, certain athletes that's like, the team lost, but I did good. No.
No, you lost.
Yeah, you lost. You think you won. In your head, you did. But you lost. And so I want to be somebody that's like, man, I don't just care about my world and my thing. And my that's so small. Small souls only care about themselves.
Yep.
Big leaders do everything they can to elevate and champion and lift up, pull up people. You know, by the way, it's just easier to pull someone down than it is to bring somebody up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times it's heavy lifting to get a teammate to the next level. But I'd rather try and do the heavy lifting than do the small stuff, pull you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My small world, my cut, my comment, be a big leader. So the goal is stronger.
Yeah.
Stronger is better. And if you're strong, think about strong team, strong soul, strong life, strong conviction, strong mindset, mental fortitude. If you're strong, you're going to crush everything in your world. If you're weak, this comment, this situation, this temptation, that's why I believe in the power of no. So convince yourself. Don't say yes to everything. Discipline yourself to say no to the things that are it's good.
Yep.
Wow.
It's good. Fine. But is it great?
Wow.
Stop saying yes to little good things. Say no to them so you can get stronger and stronger and grow even greater. We love you. We believe in you. We're not sponsored by A21. It's AG1. Let's go.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes
People think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.